Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians 14. In our consideration of prayer, or any consideration of prayer, it's imperative that we take a look at the manifestation of speaking in tongues, or praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because all praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues, but not all speaking in tongues is necessarily praying in the Spirit. We have to separate that. But it is important that we look at this magnificent manifestation of God's gift of Holy Spirit and its proper usage and how it will develop us spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 14, here in verse 14, it says, "For if I pray," now we're talking about praying, "in an unknown tongue," or speaking in tongues, "my spirit prayeth," praying in the Spirit. You see that? "My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." My spirit prayeth. I want you to get that, that's what it's talking about. Praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues, yet not all speaking in tongues would be praying in the Spirit, because there are other uses of it. But I want you to see that. Verse 15, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." So there is a part of praying in our understanding. There is definitely an encouragement and a purpose. We are to do both. We are to pray in our understanding. And for me, my understanding is the language of English, although it's severely limited, I suppose. But praying in my understanding for me would be praying in English, but then I am also to pray in the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues. Got it? So that you have both sides. We're to do both. And then weeks ago, regarding the promised comforter, I would like for you to go to John chapter 7, the great Gospel of John. And weeks ago, when we were talking about the promised comforter, I wanted to show you this, and then we want to look at a couple of other areas in John as well for our understanding. But remember, in John chapter 7, verse 38, I shared with you, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. Remember, I shared with you the word "flow" is the Greek word rheousosin, which comes from the root rheo, which means to speak. And it's a flowing speaking. And it's out of his belly, meaning out of the innermost part of him. And for us, it would be from the inner man, so to speak. Flow are spoken rivers of living water. Verse 39, "But this he spake of the," what? Spirit. There, you see it? So speaking in tongues is speaking by the Spirit. Praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. You got it? See, I want you to really see this connection so that you are very clear on it. You have understanding of it. Speaking by the Spirit. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive," you and I, we should receive it, "for the Holy Ghost," or "the Holy Spirit, was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Yes, it wasn't available until after the day of Pentecost. But then once we have it, we should, out of our bellies, speak rivers of living water, referring to speaking by the Spirit or speaking in tongues, praying by the Spirit, praying in tongues. You see the connection there? Just to develop this a little further, let's go to John 14. Again, in the great Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, we want to look at this and look at it in its context. John 14, and this is beautiful. Jesus said, Let's start it in verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then he goes on to talk about, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll tie this all in together for you, and you will see how magnificent this is. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. So what is the context? Prayer, right? I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that it may abide with you. How long?
Forever.
Isn't that magnificent? It'll abide forever. It's not going to leave you. That's why it's a comforter. You know, the disciples and the apostles were blessed to be walking with Jesus because he was standing right next to him. And every place he went, obviously they had comfort. They had the Son of God walking with them. But now the Son of God is going to leave them. But he says, I'm not going to leave you without comfort. The Father will send you another comforter. And it's one that will abide with us forever. So how long will we have comfort? We have access to comfort forever. Isn't that just beautiful? Beautiful. That's a comfort. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for it is actually the text, it dwelleth with you and shall be where? In you. So you're going to have this Spirit in you. Now, I want you to see that because it's in reference to the new birth of receiving Spirit. When we talk about Spirit, I'm not talking about Team Spirit, you know, or a figure of speech, you know, let's get in the Spirit. We go to church and then we sing all of these hymns and these things so we can get into the Spirit of prayer. That's not what we're talking about. This is literally the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God in you. It is a literal thing, not just a figure of speech. Not where let's get in the Spirit and so we rah, rah, rah and get us all lathered up and worked up and now we're in the Spirit and we're ready to go. No. It is something that is in you. It is in you. It abideth forever. it's not in reference either to understanding the spirit of something. Like, for instance, I say this to you in the spirit of friendship. That's not what it's talking about. When we're talking about praying in the Spirit, when we're talking about prayer in the Spirit or speaking in tongues, we are talking about a literal thing. That gift of Spirit in which it is given, that's not what we're talking about. Literally receive Spirit. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth it, but ye shall know it, for it dwelleth with you and shall be what? In you. Literally, it's going to be in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that wonderful? See, praying in the Spirit is designed specifically for your private prayer life. And I want to take a look at that. If we'll go to Romans chapter 8, because I want you to see the benefit of praying in the Spirit, which the Bible says it is perfect prayer. And not only is it perfect prayer, but it is also perfect intercession. So let's go to Romans chapter 8 to take a look at this. Romans 8, there we go. And let's start in verse 26, where it tells us, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, or infirmity, For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You see, you have the connection with the Spirit, and we're talking about prayer. A lot of times you just don't know what to pray for. You just don't know. You know what possibly a problem might be, or you see someone that has a situation, but you don't know all the details. You don't know exactly what to pray for. What exactly is the solution? What is the problem? Sometimes you may just be burdened with trouble. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're sitting there and you're just troubled and you're wondering, why am I troubled? I don't understand this. This is the design of praying in the Spirit, an aspect of speaking in tongues. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Isn't that wonderful? You know, there are times you just don't know what to pray for. The needs of humankind surpass scientific discovery and development. They go beyond the scope of nature and reach beyond the helping hands of human kindness. There are situations in life we just have not come up with the scientific discovery and the development that would handle that situation. It extends beyond the scope of nature, and it reaches beyond the helping hands of human kindness. So how then do you reach out? How do you help? Well, it tells us that the Spirit worketh or helpeth with our infirmity when we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I like that. Groanings which cannot be uttered is in the sense of something that's difficult to relate. Even if you knew what it was, you might not find the words to actually express it. You know, you couldn't say it or describe it if you wanted to. It's, you know, you just know and you're aware of something, but you don't have the words that you couldn't describe it. You can't even express it because it's beyond, at times, these situations and things are beyond our comprehension and even beyond our compassion. But the Spirit helps us with that infirmity, with groanings which cannot be uttered. difficult to relate. Now, this is really wonderful. It says, but the Spirit itself, which is to speaking by the Spirit. I do the speaking, but what I speak is by the Spirit. It's tongues or an unknown tongue to me. That's what we're after. I speak by the Spirit that makes intercession for the saints. And that's beautiful. It says here, look at the verse 27, and he or it that searches the hearts, God, that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because it, this meaning the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints, how? According to the will of God. So are we going to get an answer? Absolutely. But this is really beautiful because the Spirit makes intercession. The word intercession is kind of neat. To intercede is interpose on behalf or against someone or something. Isn't that beautiful? Let me explain that to you. What it is to intercede or interpose for or against. It is always for us, and it is always against the adversary, always against the spirit realm. It makes intercession on behalf of the saints for them and against what the enemy is trying to do spiritually. That's where that word intercede, it's so perfect because it means for or against. It's for you, it's against the enemy that's attacking you. What the spirit realm has devised against you or the person we're praying for. or the situation that we are praying for, or whatever it is, you know, country, it doesn't matter. It's for, always for the saints, and always making intercession against, interceding against our enemy. Just wonderful. And it's according to the will of God. I may not know, but the Spirit surely does. I may not know what the will of God, for instance, is in a situation, but the Spirit that is within me makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I may not know what the will of God is, you know, because maybe perhaps just my ignorance of the Scriptures. You know, it's not just, well, this is a special situation and only God knows exactly what to, that too. But it may just be I'm just ignorant of the Scripture. But the Spirit knows. That Spirit that He has given to me knows. And so it makes intercession according to the will of God. I may not know, but the Spirit surely does. Man, is that not a comforter? Is that not comfort? Let's put a ribbon here in Romans chapter 8. And I want you to go to 1 John. Let's go to the great record in 1 John. I love these records, you know, the Gospel of John, the epistles of John. John knew a great deal about the gift of Holy Spirit, apparently. And I'm thankful that he was willing to, by the revelation from God, he shared so much of the truth with us. But this is really good. In 1 John chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 9. It says, if we receive the witness or the testimony of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness where? In himself. He has that testimony in himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, we can speak by the Spirit. We can pray by the Spirit because that Spirit is with you and shall be in you, as John told us in chapter 7. Now we know, or chapter 14 of John, the Gospel of John. Now here in 1 John, it's putting it together for us. It is in you. You have this testimony in you. Just beautiful. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. Beautiful. We have the witness within, that Spirit within you. Now I'd like to look at drop down to verse 13. These things have I written unto you. John is writing on behalf of God the revelation that he's given, and he really wants you to know, and just how beautifully God has chosen John to do this because of his knowledge of the Comforter and his ability to lay out those truths for us. It says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you confessed Jesus as your Lord? Do you believe God raised him from the dead? Do you believe that testimony? Then you are born again. You've received that witness within you, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Look at this, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask what? Anything according to his will. Remember, the Spirit maketh intercession. How? According to the will of God. So now we've got something that we can have absolute confidence in, because we know it's going to be according to the will of God. And if we ask anything according to the will of God, next phrase, he hears us. Isn't that great? Now you have that gift of Holy Spirit. You may not, in your senses, mind, know what to pray about, know what to ask for, know what to do, but that Spirit surely does, and it asks according to the will of God. And if we ask according to the will of God, he hears us. Your prayer does not get missed. It absolutely makes it right to the ears of God. You ever hear that expression? From your mouth to God's ear. This is it. This is the way to do it. Beautiful. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. How magnificent is that? How beautiful is praying in the Spirit? How important is that? Do you really know that? Do you know that he hears you? Do you know that he heard that utterance? Do you know? Well, good gosh, it's right there. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. You just pull on that ribbon, toss it right back there. And then I want you to look at this. We read 27. Let's go to verse 28. It starts with the word, actually it starts with the word then, T-H-E-N. This is why it is such a great comforter, because we know that when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, when we pray by the Spirit, it makes perfect intercession according to the will of God. And if it's according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the petitions that we have requested. How perfect can you ask? Then we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Then, why then? Because the Spirit interceded on behalf of the saint and against the evil spirit realm, and God heard it. That which was beyond my comprehension, that which was beyond my vocabulary to describe and my compassion to help, the Spirit was able to communicate that right to the ear of God, and God heard it and God answered it. Perfect. Just absolutely perfect. The Spirit in me, as I spake in tongues and prayed in the Spirit, described it to a T. Perfect prayer and intercession. Now, if it works in perfect prayer, what do you think it will do in other benefits? And what about the other manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit? See, we should want to operate all of it and have full knowledge so that we put on all the armor of God, so that we're able to stand in the evil day. See, it's time for spiritual men and spiritual women to rise up and utilize this gift for all of its good intended purposes. You know, get busy. Healing and deliverance. How about beginning to build myself up spiritually? You know, Jude 20, let's go there. In Jude 20, great record here. And you can go through every record in the Bible. You can go through the entire Bible and you will not find another manifestation that builds you up spiritually. In Jude 20, it tells us, well, I'm not there. I keep slipping past it. There we go. There's Jude. Jude 20 tells us, but you, beloved, building up yourselves. How? Has to be spiritually. Has to be spiritually. Building up yourselves, edifying yourselves, getting built up spiritually. Not just in your five senses mind, but building yourself up spiritually so that you have an in-depth spiritual perception. You have an awareness of spiritual situations and the ability to solve those situations because you can pray in the Spirit. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in the Spirit. That's exactly what it's talking about. And building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Just tremendous. I'll have to share with you sometime on the word faith and how that works. Because, well, I'll just share something with you now. A lot of times we think of the manifestation of faith or the manifestation of believing as something that, you know, I need to do something right now and I have to have the manifestation of faith for it to bring it to pass. I believe the manifestation of faith you have to use every day, all the time. It's just something that you know the promise of God and you just do not give up on it. I think of Elijah when he had to pray that it wouldn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. He had to believe that every day, every single day. Well, that spirit within him praying, he didn't have the ability to pray in the Holy Spirit or to pray in the Spirit, but he had to operate that manifestation for sure. See, I think that's one of the reasons why the church has not been up to the task that has been set before it, because we just don't operate and utilize the gift enough. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, I want to set this again for you. In 1 Corinthians 14, and then in verse 4, it says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue," or "he that speaks in tongues, edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church." He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. Well, how would you get edified if you don't understand what's being said? So it has to be in terms of edifying us spiritually, building us up spiritually, making us more spiritually aware, more spiritually attuned. Just something. You know, there are people who, in music, for instance, build themselves up in their senses, that they hear a note and they can tell right away whether it's slightly flat or it's right on the pitch and stuff like that, because they're used to it. They can hear it note by note. I remember hearing a story about Frank Sinatra when he was rehearsing one time and he was singing something and he got to a place in the song and then he stopped it and he said, on such and such a bar, the trumpet was flat. And I thought, man, with all of these other instruments in his orchestra or the orchestra that was backing him up, his ear was so finely attuned to music that he heard one trumpet that was slightly flat. And then they redid the song so that they would have, he wanted to have it perfect. But if a man can build himself up with his senses to be that attuned, what can we do with our spiritual senses? Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? Oh boy, oh boy. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're looking at building ourselves up spiritually. Look at this great record. In Ephesians chapter 3, and this is this great prayer in Ephesians that I want to share with you so that we can be up to the task. There's hardly anybody doing anything, comparison to the population of the world, that are really taking a stand and acting in a great way on the spiritual realities that affect the earth. We all want to wrestle and fight with each other, wrestle and fight over flesh and blood. This country over here is this and that country over there and all of that. But you don't see the spiritual behind it. Be great if people get attuned to the place that and that they utilize that gift of Holy Spirit, particularly praying in the Spirit when we need to pray for what we don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle those situations. And the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It intercedes for the saint and against the spiritual enemy's realm. Well, good gosh, this is beautiful. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 3. I keep turning right past it, and I got to get back there. Chapter 3, verse 16. Well, verse 14. Here it is. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." One, to give honor. Secondly, in a prayerful request. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The inner man is that Christ in you. And here is Paul's prayer for us, that he, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Well, how rich is God in glory? And the word riches is the word plotes, which comes from the word plato, to overflow to you and benefit others. Yes, great. That he would grant you, and this is really an amazing word. This word grant means, in the sense, to hold in high honor, have a sacred duty, that he would grant you. It's not like, it's not in the sense that you don't have this thing and you're trying to elicit it from God. That's not what it means. The Jews and the Greeks use this word specifically in relationship and the expression for the death of a martyr. We often speak of how our military men have given their lives for your freedom. Now, the freedom's already there, but they are laying down their lives so that you can continue in that freedom. It's not in the sense of something that you don't have that needs to be granted to you. It's securing that which you do have. And the way that we secure it, the state of New Hampshire has a motto, live free or die. The way that you live free is by already utilizing the freedoms that you have. If you are not, you might as well be dead. You're not waiting around for a government to grant you more freedoms. You are just living what you have. That's why I think in 1 John 4:16, when it talks about we have known and believed the love God hath to us, and I say that they, when we are people who know and believe the love God has to us, we know it and we believe it, we will begin to live like men and women who are loved by God. His love is already there. Now live like someone who is loved by God. You already have that gift of Holy Spirit. Utilize it to its greatest capacity to maintain that which you already have. You got it? Well, I think about George Mueller. A statement from George Mueller was, I walk in the spirit of prayer. That means he was at prayer all the time, so to speak. You can't do something 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because sometimes you're going to fall asleep and you can't. But he walked in the spirit of prayer. In other words, he was constantly aware that he needed to pray for things, constantly aware that he needed. Now, I don't know if he spoke in tongues, but that statement really touched my heart. But I think of us, because there are so many situations you don't know what's going on in the world, but you can make prayer an intercession. Like I was sharing, I think on the first teaching I did on prayer, how when I was in training, I'd be my job was working on the farms, and I'd be out in the field, and I'd just be speaking in tongues for situations, and names would pop into my mind, and I'd just speak in tongues for them. A lot of us, and Connie particularly, used to put a black dot on your hand. They take their pen and put a little black dot, and every time they would look at that black dot, they would think of speaking tongues. Isn't that beautiful? You know, we are no longer in the hours of prayer where we go to the temple at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then we come back at 3 o'clock in the, I mean 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we come back at noon, and then we come back at 3, and then we come at 6 p.m. We can pray all day long. We take the temple with us, so to speak. We have that gift of Holy Spirit, and we can pray for the things we don't even that go beyond our comprehension and go beyond our compassion because we can speak in tongues. I want to encourage you to speak in tongues much in your private prayer life. A lot of you perhaps have little SIT signs on your Bible, or you put the note on the mirror in your bathroom, SIT. Whatever you need to do to remind you to speak in tongues, because that will never go to waste, because it helps our infirmity. And there is always some situation that needs to speak in tongues, and it will build us up. It will edify us. It will build us up in the inner man, that we become more spiritually aware of the things and situations and our ability to make intercession for it. So that he would grant you to be strengthened with might, with spiritual might. And it's strengthened might with an impact all the way to the end, that it has an impact on our lives powerfully and forcefully. It has an impact on our lives. To where you become so spiritually aware, man, you can pray for situations at the drop of a hat, have your whole heart and mind and soul into it, that God can talk to you while you're driving a tractor, God can talk to you while you're cruising down the road, and that Spirit of God is just so aware that you need to pray for these situations, and even situations that you cannot understand, that you cannot describe. Even if you did understand it, you couldn't even put it into words. The Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know if it's according to the will of God, he hears us, and there it is. I also wanted to put this on and set this for you, because it not only is perfect prayer, but it is giving thanks well. 1 Corinthians 14, if we'll go back there, I'm getting ready to close here, but I do want to set this for you in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17, it says, "For thou verily giveth thanks well," and it's in the context of speaking in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, 17, "For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified." So it's in the category of speaking in tongues. A lot of times someone has a need, they tell it to us, and we say, I'll pray for you, and we speak in tongues for them. And that is a very important part. But you know what else is very important? That we give thanks well. That once that prayer has been answered, that person receives the deliverance, that person receives whatever it was that we requested for God, that they described to us, and then we spoke in tongues in perfect prayer, then we ought to speak in tongues even more after it's done, to give him thanks well. You know, there's some situations that after it's done, I say, God, man, I just don't know how to thank you. And then I think, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I can pray in the Spirit. I can speak in tongues much in my private prayer life and give thanks well. For thou verily givest thanks well. And that is another great part of our walk as believing Christians. So these are just some things I wanted to share with you and sort of wrap some things up on prayer. We haven't covered it completely. There's no way that we could cover it exhaustively, but I did want to inspire your heart and inspire your life in the category of prayer, particularly now in speaking in tongues, to pray much in tongues, to remind yourself to pray in tongues. And then more particularly, I also want to remind you that when that prayer has been answered, and surely if we have prayed in tongues, it has been answered, because it prays according to the will of God. God heard it, and we have the petitions we desired of him. Then let's follow it up with lots of speaking in tongues in giving thanks well. God bless you.